Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we are opening a file that sounds like pretty boring admin work, but is actually high-stakes poker for businesses.
Oh, absolutely. It's hiring a Salesforce consultant.
And unfortunately, the house usually wins in this game.
It does. I mean, it really does.
Seriously, I was looking at the data specifically for the Australian market, and businesses are just routinely torching over $100,000 on failed CRM projects.
And it's not because the software is bad.
No, not at all. It's the classic garbage in, garbage out scenario. You can buy the absolute Ferrari of CRMs, but if you hand the keys to someone who can't drive.
You're going to crash it. Simple as that.
So our mission today is to arm you with what I'm calling the detective kit. We've pulled insights from Australian e-commerce brands, tech companies.
Real world lessons.
Exactly. We can't hit all 15 questions from the full research, but we're going to cover the absolute heavy hitters that separate a real expert from someone who just talks a good game.
Okay, so where should we start? I think the resume itself is the first trap.
The certification trap. Yes, this is a huge one. The sources warn against getting dazzled by a resume just stacked with like 10 badges.
You see that and you think genius.
Right, but half of those might be the Salesforce certified administrator credential, which is, well, it's entry level.
It is. It's the baseline.
Yeah.
If you're hiring for a complex architectural build, that cert just tells me you know where the login button is. You shouldn't be impressed by that alone.
So you need to look for something more specific.
You need to be looking for application architect or system architect.
You want the person who designed the skyscraper, not just the person who has the keys to the lobby.
That distinction is everything. And it leads to, I think, the single most revealing interview question you can possibly ask. Forget, what's your greatest success?
You have to ask them, tell me about a project that went wrong.
Yes. Because if they say, oh, everything always goes perfectly,
They're either lying or they've never done any real work.
complex builds always have hiccups. Always.
Yeah.
I want to see the scars. I want to hear how they navigated the disaster.
There was that great anecdote in the files about a consultant dealing with a legacy inventory system. The product codes didn't match days before launch.
A total nightmare scenario.
Right.
But instead of hiding it, they built a translation layer using Flow Builder to fix the mismatch on the fly. That's the problem solving you're paying for.
But even a great problem solver needs context, right? The breakdown on Mecha Brands really highlighted this.
It did. Their consultant didn't just grab a generic sales template. They understood the specific rhythms of beauty retail, the seasonality, the returns, the loyalty programs.
And by tailoring the system to those patterns, they cut their sales cycle by 43%.
Yeah.
A generalist would have missed all of that.
Completely. Which brings us to probably the most expensive trap in the file.
The build trap.
The code versus configuration debate. There was this dangerous tendency for some consultants to jump straight to writing raw custom code apex for everything.
Instead of just using the switches and levers Salesforce already provides.
It's a massive gotcha. And look, sometimes it's profit-driven, sometimes it's just old habits. But you take that Sydney e-commerce company.
Oh, this story was wild.
They were nearly billed $35,000 for custom code, just to calculate shipping logic.
35,000 for something the next provider came in and billed using Flow Builder, the drag and drop tool, in 3 days.
For a fraction of the cost. And it's not just about the overcharging. The first consultant was creating technical debt.
Because that custom code is rigid. You can't just change a shipping rule later without hiring a developer to come back and rewrite the raw code.
You're locking yourself in. You're building a cage for your business.
Speaking of cages, let's talk about timelines. If a consultant says, hey, I can get your whole sales cloud running in 3 weeks,
Run. Just run away. That is a neon flashing red flag.
the benchmarks are pretty clear, aren't they?
A basic sales cloud setup, done properly, takes 8 to 12 weeks, minimum. Commerce Cloud, you're looking at 4 to 6 months.
So what does 3 weeks really mean?
It means they're skipping the most crucial phase, testing.
And not just testing with some dummy data. That horror story about the B2B manufacturer was painful. Their quote, generation took 37 seconds with real data.
47 seconds. It was unusable. Could you imagine sitting in front of a client waiting for that to load?
No way.
But because they caught it in testing, they could optimize it down to 3 seconds. If they'd skipped that, the entire project would have failed on day one.
So success isn't just we launched. It's not about so-called user adoption.
That's too soft. You need business alignment. You need hard KPIs. Things like a 25% reduction in cart abandonment or a 15% increase in average order value.
If your consultant can't talk in those terms.
They're just installing software. They're not improving your business.
Which I guess explains the price tag. The reality is you should probably expect to pay between, what, $150 and $350 an hour for this level of quality in Australia.
You should. But when you compare that to the $100,000 failure we started with, the cheap option is usually the most expensive one.
It really is. And that brings me to the final thought. Post-implementation support isn't just about fixing bugs.
No, a good system shouldn't have that many bugs to begin with. Support should be about optimization. If the project just ends the day you launch, you are missing the entire point of a scalable system.
So the question to ask yourself is this. Is your consultant planning for your growth, or are they just planning their exit? Thanks for diving in with us.